All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We are going to read verses 6 through 10. Verses 6 through 10. The Bible says, God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. Does that sound good? God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire. That's a picture, isn't it? This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of power. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today? There is a thing that we are waiting for. Good things coming. Jesus will appear to be glorified in us and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you, because you have believed our testimony to you. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, knowing that you are mighty, knowing that you are awesome, knowing that you are glorified. And Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would guide us, Lord, into a greater understanding of your word. Lord, that you would be here with us. Lord, that you would break the chains, Lord, of sin in our lives, Lord, that you would show us, Lord, show us the activities in our lives, Lord. Show us the choices that we make. Show us the trials that we face, Lord, that we fail at, Lord, and empower us, Lord, to overcome those trials. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Well, we've got vacations going on. We've got sickness going on. We got all kinds of stuff going on around here. But you are here and God is good. Amen? How many of you, I mean, we would talk about trials all morning, all right? You guys got some trials going on, amen? Well, I'm going to talk to you about a trial. Timothy, how many of you guys have ever got a text message from Timothy? Put your hand up. Oh, some of you are left. Nobody? Oh. Well, I get these text messages from Timothy, you know, and they're so brief. Like, you know, it's just like, he's just like, see you at church. I'm like, okay, and I just don't really think so much about him, but he didn't realize my phone is different than his phone, because he'll send me like 8 pages of text of these massive, huge incidents that are going on in his life, and just go through all the minor detail and all this kind of stuff, and at the last thing, he's like, God is so awesome, God is great, took me through this great challenge of my life, see you at church. And I look at my message, I say, see you at church. I'm like, okay, you know. And he's like going, what's up with the pastor, man? I tell him all this heart-wrenching stuff that's going on in my life. He doesn't even care. He doesn't even call me back. Well, it's not coming through, bro. But I'm going to share with you, because I found a way to, like, go through all the pages and stuff. Timothy was going through a trial about 2 months back. Actually, we were out of town, so it was July. And he had was eating a meal. Timothy has had muscular dystrophy since you've been born, right? And so his body doesn't process calcium right, and it's all messed up, and he's got the bone density of a 140-year-old man. And so, and God is holding him together for a great ministry, amen, and great opportunity. Well, he was eating just some food, and one of his teeth broke in half. And he's like, bummed. I mean, how many of you guys be bummed when your teeth break in half, right? You're bummed. You go to the dentist. Goes to the dentist right up here, North Park Dental. You know, we've been talking about how great that is. And the lady dentist says, okay, we're going to pull all your teeth out. Nothing else I'm going to do. I just pull teeth. I clean teeth and I pull teeth. And he's shattered. Because his past, and he's not kept us a secret, you know, is a lot of drugs, a lot of all this kind of stuff. And it impacts your teeth. And he's just seeing, as he's coming back to the Lord for like 2 years now, that his past, this stuff is just kind of still, he's dealing with it, and to lose all of his teeth. You know, he's just shattered. And he said, you know, pastor's gone for like 3 more days. I can just go get me some dope, and I can just be numb for like 3 days. And when he comes back, I'll be okay and I can get away with that. And then he thought, no, I'm not going to do that. And he opened up his Bible and he started reading about the full armor of God. And he began to read about the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and all these things, the breastplate of righteousness and the feet shod with readiness that comes from the gospel. And he said his countenance began to be transformed. And he no longer wanted to escape, and he began to be filled, and he began to feel like that warrior that was being described in Scripture that would attack the challenges of his life. We're going to talk about trials today. Trials of life. As we said, many of us are going through them. You might be going through them. We're going to talk about passing trials and failing trials. I want to let you know today that you are going to be shocked. And I want you to just chill. Okay? I'm telling you right now. My wife is going to be shocked. And I want you to just chill. Trials of life. How are you doing on yours? Instead of getting high, Timothy turned to the Word of God and overcame that trial. The Lord allows trials to come into our lives so that we can understand ourselves better and understand Him better. Our trials give us opportunity to find victory. My question again, how are you doing on yours? How are you passing through the challenges week to week, day to day? We're going to talk about this. New series, Better Things Are Coming. First and Second Thessalonians are the first or accepted to be the first letters that Paul wrote to any churches. They're like written in mid, 52. And he wrote to this young church. He wrote to this church in Thessalonica, which is up this area right here. Here's Italy, and this is Israel over here. You see Ephesus, modern-day Turkey, and Thessalonica is up in here. And Thessalonica was a small church, kind of like our church, and it had some drama going on, kind of like our church, amen? And you know what? I'll tell you what. If a church is doing what a church is supposed to do, there's always going to be drama going in. You know what we could do? We could just lock the doors. You guys will have just made it in, and we won't let any other new people in, and no more new problems, and we'll get our problems fixed, and then we'll be right, and we won't have to deal with any drama. Now, that is not the picture of the New Testament church that the Lord has made. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we got people coming in with problems. We got people coming in with issues and challenges and all kinds of stuff. Paul writes the letter, 1 Thessalonians, to address some of these issues. And they had some problems with his letter. You know, he's trying to get back. He's trying to get back. You know, the issues that we face, I mean, that is a real challenge of life. How do you deal with it with your life when things don't go right? And talk about Paul, two main problems that Paul had to deal with to get trying to get back from Ephesus to Thessalonica. Number one was the devil. He says, we wanted to come to you. He's writing this letter. He said, man, I wanted to come to you. I'm in Ephesus. I'm doing this good work in Ephesus. I wanted to get back to you, but Satan stopped us. Saying, wait a minute. I'm talking about the Apostle Paul here. Raised people from the dead, healed people, did all kinds of stuff. How can the devil stop Paul? Well, a bigger question is, how is the devil messing with you? Look how many people aren't here today. Glad you rolled in late, bro. You're looking a little bit thin. Real nice. 50 pounds, I heard. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen? And so Paul is saying, man, I got a problem in this church. I need to get back there and deal with this stuff. And the devil is stopping Paul. Second thing, the devil again. Chapter 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5 says, for this reason, when I could stand it no longer, he's trying to get back, can't get back there, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter, you know who the tempter is, right? The tempter might have tempted you, and our efforts might have been useless. Now check it out. Paul was in Thessalonica, stayed there for a while. The Jews started not liking what he was saying, taking everybody out of the synagogue, turning them into Christians, and the Lord used him to turn them into Christians. And so they began to rebel against Paul and attack him and do all this kind of stuff. And so he leaves, a bunch of Christians there, right? 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 You follow me? There's a church there. Now he's worried that the activity of the devil in the midst of that church would cause his labor to have been useless. And he is concerned so much, he's trying to get back. Oh, man, I gotta come against the attack of the enemy. And so we have trials. You say, well, why does God let that happen? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Better things coming. We have challenges now, but better things are coming. And we're going to talk about judgment today. I read about that to you as I read these verses and talked about the judgment that is coming later. And the emphasis that Paul places to this little church, and he says, I want to make sure that you're getting it right. That there is a proper response to the message of the gospel. There is a proper response to Jesus' death on the cross. And Paul says, I want to make sure you're getting it right. That's what we're going to take a look at today. Are we okay? You're going to be shocked. I'm just letting you know. A church to be proud of. A church to be proud of. I hope you are proud of this church. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of what the Lord is doing in you. I'm concerned for some of you. But I am blessed when I see God doing a mighty work. He says, Paul says, we ought, I didn't read this, we're going back a couple of verses to verse 3. We ought always to thank God for you. I ought always to thank God for you. Brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of every one of you has for each other is increasing. And we need to give credit where credit is due. And Paul is giving credit to God. Now, we have a tendency to misplace our credit. We could say, hey, look at me. I'm doing so good. Look what I'm doing. And Paul says, no, no, no. It's not so much about you. It's what God doing in you. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? It's easy to put our praise in the wrong place. It's easy to put our focus in the wrong place. But it is God who brings an increase in faith right there. The increase in faith and the increase in love. How do I know? It's in the Bible. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. God's doing a work in you. Talk about an increase of love. We love because he first loved us. Amen? See, God starts a work in you, and you respond to that work. He waters it. He plants. He does all this. He brings forth. We get to participate with him in that. He might ask you to plant some seed. He might ask you to do a little bit of watering. But it's his work that you respond to. Amen? We got to give credit to where credit is due. We have to be keeping our eyes on our Lord. Paul says, I'm so happy because I see a God doing a work in you. Praise the Lord. All right, second point. Faith. He talks about faith growing. Verse 4 says, therefore, among God's churches, he's going, man, have you heard about the church in Thessalonica? That church is growing. God is doing a work. Faith is increasing. Love is increasing. He says, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance. How many of you guys have perseverance? Perseverance is tough to come along with. Therefore, among God's church, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials. How many of you guys had a trial this morning? See, you guys persevered and got here. Thomas ended up in the emergency room. I don't know. Maybe we give him a pass on that. If you're in the hospital, we might. Although, Bible says, hey, you're sick. Come on, have the elders pray for you. But faith grows in challenging times, folks. Faith grows in challenging times. Perseverance is the key here. Perseverance in the face of adversity. Perseverance in the midst of persecution. We don't have a whole lot of persecution of Christians in the United States. It's not like living in China, not like living in Saudi Arabia. But I'm telling you, we have some adversity in the face of trials, and I can get a witness on that, I'm sure, right? What kind of trials do we have? We have trials of smallness. Trials of smallness. Trials of selfishness of the people around us. Oh. Anybody find that aggravating? Trials of laziness of the people around you. Anybody find that aggravating? Yes. And the Lord would cause you to, the Bible says that man sharpens man in the same way that iron sharpens iron. And so you got that lazy person around you, you got that selfish person around you, it's like, oh Lord, you're sharpening me for something. Trials of smallness. Second thing, trials from our past. I'm lucky. I came to the Lord 20 years ago, so my past is kind of getting distant. I liken that. Some people look at me and say, you never had no past. I said, 20 years ago, you would have seen it easy. I was carrying it all over me. You might have addiction issues. It took me a year. I mean, from the time I was 15 to the time I was 29, I was stoned or drunk every day. Except for a little six-month period in there after I had two DUIs in the six-month period. It took me a year how to learn how to live straight. Because I was a 15-year-old kid in a 29-year-old man's body. I didn't know how to be angry and not be high, how to be happy and not be high, how to be anxious or whatever. I was always high. I had to learn how to do all these things straight. It's baggage. Sometimes the Lord just heal you of some stuff, but he doesn't generally heal you of everything. Got to learn how to live straight, and it takes perseverance. It's so hard. Yeah, it's hard, but it's good. Amen? You might have a mountain of debt, consequences of your sin. You might have child support stacked up for the last 15 years. Hundreds of thousands of dollars, consequences of sin. You might have a criminal record, felonies in your past, and it is hard to get a job when they do that check on you. Amen? You might have some evictions lined up, and it's hard to get a place. Man, I got debt, I got a felony, I can't get no job, I got evictions, I can't get a place, I'm all messed up. That's a great place to turn your life over to the Lord, amen? And he'll just start undigging, and you got to work through that stuff. You got a mountain of consequences to sin, and why does he not just take them all away? Because he lets you know what kind of baggage, what kind of burden sin is in your life, so that you don't just haphazardly just kind of turn around and do it again. How many of you know somebody just haphazardly turn around and doing it again? Timothy, man, he's going to turn to the very stuff that messed his teeth up to get comfort because his teeth are messed up. Does that make any sense? Don't make no sense. But sometimes we do stuff that doesn't make any sense. Amen? Faith grows in challenging times. That's why the Lord lets challenges come your way. Glenn, you got challenges? Lord lets them come so that you can do what? Get bigger, get better, trust him, grow in your faith. Because the more times that you are victorious through your challenges, the better you're going to get at facing them. Amen? We have trials of mishap. Somebody just driving along, and bam, somebody just crashes right into your car. Ah! Maybe somebody steals your car, mishap, just somebody sins against you. All these are opportunities to learn more about God and discover more about yourself. It's like the stress comes and just kind of squeezes you. And some ugly stuff will be coming out. What pops out of you when you're stressing? What pops out of you when you're under the gun? I'm telling you, Friday, 2 days ago, Friday, man, it was a rough day. You know, I talked to you on Wednesday night about this printer problem we had. We had a busted printer at the church. Printer doesn't work. And then the printer at my house is busted. So me being diligent, I go buy a new printer cartridge. It's still busted. I go buy a new printer to me, new to me. Never buy new. I always buy off Craigslist. And although the printer cartridge was new. Bought a new to me printer. Still busted. Brought the old printer here with a new printer cartridge printed off this system, it's still busted. I'm stressing. So Friday comes along. And I told you about the organ last week, right? And I'm supposed to go pick up the organ. I'm supposed to pick up the organ on Thursday. I'm driving all over the place. I got to get a giving letter. I got no way to print it. I'm stressing, man. So then Friday comes, and I'm supposed to be up there at like 2 o'clock. I got no way to print this letter. Finally, I start printing in color, and it comes out in these weird kind of, I go, okay, this is going to work. And you know, I'm to the point, 2 o'clock on Friday, and I'm just like, get that feeling? Mm-hmm. What do? Stressing. Trials. Pass them, fail them. Come up. How many of you are totally shocked right now? Come on, be honest. Now feel that feeling, okay? Because this is water. Okay? But when you fail, someone is watching you. And when you take the easy way out, you send such an incredible message to your children, to the people that the Lord would use you in a mighty way to transform their lives. They would say, oh, it's all just a joke, isn't it? Because you're just joking me. You're playing me. I see it in your actions. Trials of life. How you doing in yours? We have opportunities to overcome trials and become victorious. I used to drink every day. In the last 20 years, I have taken a sip of a white Merlot, a sip. I went to a guy's house up in Tierra Santa, and he's making beer. He comes out, I mean, you're a Christian, right? And all these Christian people, yeah, look at my home brewery here. And he took a sip. Okay. And I believe in 20 years, that is it. Why? Well, one, I drank enough already in my life. Two, I would never, ever want to have one of you see me drinking and go, oh, it's just a joke. He's just playing around. Joe and I went to the liquor store this morning at 8:30, right on the corner of Federal and Euclid. There it is, wide open, Joe. And I go in there, and I'm dressed just like this. I don't have my name tag on. And I buy the beer, and the guy says, enjoy yourself. And I said, this is for my sermon. He goes, what? And I said, I'm going to go out there and pour it out. I said, hey, how many people been in here this morning by booze? He goes, oh, man, we open at 6. A ton. I said, more than 20? I said, more than 50? He said, oh, more than 50. More than 50. How you doing in the trials of life? Are you passing or are you failing? Because the challenges come, the stress comes that you might overcome. Amen? You were shocked, huh? Were you shocked? Stunned?
Yes.
I was talking to my wife. Yeah, she don't know what a beer looks like. She never had one. Okay. Oh, James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kinds. Amen. They're there for you to grow, for you to understand the Lord more. All right. God's going to be the judge. There's a time that's coming back when all these trials are going to mount up, and they are going to be the testimony of your life. right? When you come to know Jesus as your Savior, you act and you respond in a different way. He says, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right. And as a result, you will be counted worthy. Would you say worthy for me, please?
Worthy.
He says, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. And I want to make sure that you're worthy of the kingdom, that you're acting in a manner that is worthy of the kingdom. Paul talks about good judgment. God's judgment is right. What is he talking about? What kind of judgment is God making here? And what he has chosen to do is invest the blood of his son in the Thessalonica church. And he says his judgment's right because you guys are having a proper response to his son. His judgment is correct in your situation. You are doing well. I see all the adversity, all the challenges, all the trials that are coming to you, and you are getting better and better and better, and I'm so proud of you. That's why I thank God all the time for what he's doing in you. And some of you I'm so proud of. And some of you I sometimes get disappointed. Sometimes it's not full of water. And it's not just booze. There's all kinds of stuff that gets us messed up. Paul talks about lives in, lived in response to the cross of Christ. Being found deserving of the kingdom of God. We talk about worthy. Worthy, it's like worth, like value. You know, you put the balance scale up and you put your life on one side and you put the ticket to heaven in there. Are you worthy? You know, what have you done with the blood of Christ in your life? Perseverance will be counted as worthy. Worthiness for the kingdom of God. Question for you today is, what do you think perseverance looks like? Perseverance. What does that look like? Perseverance is continuing on when you're hurt. You think? You think? They teach you that in the Marines, right, Rokey? Pain is no issue. Pain is no object. Yeah. Overcome those trials, those challenges. Perseverance in the face of adversity. Continuing on when you're tired. I'm tired. I just want to take a nap. Continue on. Continuing on, like Timothy, when you'd rather just get numb. Continue on. That is perseverance. And there are some who do not persevere. There are some who come to the adversity and just quit. Say, nah, I don't think so. And there are those who will not make it. We talked about Hebrews previously. Oh, I didn't put Hebrews up there. I'm going to read it for you. It says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are of those who believe and are saved. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39. See, if you know Jesus, he's going to get squeezed out in the trials of your life. You get squeezed and you see Jesus popping out. And if he's not, see, now sometimes you got to get through years and years and years and years of ugly stuff that's down in there before Jesus replaces it all. But there's going to come a time when you begin to see victory in your trials, victory in your adversity, and you're going to be able to, you're going to go, whoa, that is so different for me to do that. Man, I am seeing, how many of you are seeing that? New responses to situations. Man, that just doesn't seem like me. That's Jesus coming out of me. I'm liking that kind of stuff. And you know, the Lord allows you to go through those trials. So you see, oh, that's pretty ugly, man. I got to do a little work in that area. Sometimes stuff just isn't real attractive that comes out of us. So what do you do when you're tired? What do you do when you're hurt? In pain. Do you persevere or do you quit? Because God wants you to persevere. And here's the big question for you this morning. Are you acting in a manner worthy of the kingdom of God? Because that's what Paul's worried about, that church in Thessalonica. Amen? All right. God's going to even things up. This is what we started reading today. God is just. Everybody say amen? God is just, he's going to pay back trouble to those who troubled you. How many of you got people that are troubling you? Amen. My wife didn't put her hand up. I'm just putting it because I want you to feel free. She doesn't trouble me. She's a blessing to me. God's going to even things up. There's a payback that's coming. Jesus is going to come back in fire, it says, and he's going to punish those that have harmed you. Revelation talks about that. It talks about the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and this is called the second death. That's a payback. Can I get a witness on that? That's evening things up. You say, when's this going to happen? The Bible tells us. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brother, so that you may not be conceited. Israel experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. See, our Lord holds back judgment in mercy. Amen? Because he wants everybody here to be saved. You know, I'm happy that he didn't come 20 years ago, because I might have not made the cut. Timothy's happy he didn't come back 2 years ago. Why? He might not have made the cut. And I tell you what, if he came back 100 years ago, nobody in this room make the cut. But he is holding back that judgment day. So there's going to be people troubling you for a little while. And they're for you to be growing, help you grow, help you figure out that bad stuff that's in you. But there is a settling up that's going to come. Amen? All right. Do something with the opportunity that the Lord gives you. God's got plans for you. Amen? Some of you guys are making the most of them. Some of you are not. He says, with this in mind, with what in mind? Being worthy of the kingdom of God, we constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy. There's that word again, worthy, having worth, having value, right? Having worth, having value in accord with his calling. Make sure you're worthy of the calling of God. The call of God, that's going to ring, ring. God calls you. Peter tells us that he calls us out of darkness into light. And he calls you out of into a knowledge and understanding of his son. And he calls you to have impact in your life. He calls you to make a difference. Some of you folks are making a difference. I love Linda is helping on Wednesday nights with that VBS. And she says, you know, I have a heart for those kids out in that park that they might come to know the Lord. And she's getting trained and she's taking steps for to have an impact right here. You know, I just praise God for the work that he is doing in you, Linda. It is awesome. What's he doing in you? What's your response? Are you personally, it's like, I'm tired, you know? He says that God is going to do an eval about your life. Whether or not it's worthy of his calling, he makes a request for your movement. You can't stay where you are and follow God. And again, there are those who say, no. Nah, I don't think so, God. Bible says that he has given each one of us a gift, a spiritual gift to have impact in your life. What are you doing with yours? There's a list. I didn't put it up there, but it's in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is talking about, where to go? Prophesying, teaching, encouraging, leading, giving, mercy, and more. And there's some of those, I don't care. I'm too busy for this. It doesn't really matter what I do anyway. It's all up to God. So I think I'm just going to do nothing. And there's that laziness thing again. Oh, bugs me. My question for you today is, what do you do with the call of God and what do you do with the gift of God? Paul's praying that the Thessalonians might respond in a manner worthy of that call. So what do you think is a worthy manner? What is a proper response to the call of God? My son, are we okay? Yeah? My son, I went out and watched him play football the other day. You know, he's a freshman. He wants to go, the coach said, we want to play varsity, you know. And he's getting beat. He's getting beat out there because his technique was wrong. So I asked his buddy, Josh, who's got a busted wrist, I said, let me have your pads and tell Joe to bring his pads home. So I got shoulder pads and a helmet. I said, let's go outside, Joe. Put the helmet on, put the pads on, and I start going at it with Joe. Say, look, do this, do this, do this. And he shored up his technique and saw some pictures of him. They posted them on the website. And he wasn't getting beat anymore. He was finding victory. And I'm thinking in my heart, that's my boy. Right? There is a worthy response to the call of God. That when God from heaven looks down and sees Enrique, he says, that's my boy. When he sees Holly, he says, there's my girl. Yeah. A response worthy of heaven. You can read about it in the beginning of Job, when Satan is before the Lord, and he says, have you considered my servant Job? He's my boy. Is that what your life is like? Is your life pleasing to the Lord? Or are you just looking for an easy way out? Remember, it's water, folks. Let's see proof. So easy to get, so easy to take the easy way out, so easy to not persevere. Last point. Supernatural assistance is available. And that by his power, not your power, Mr. Roki mentioned this at the offering time, not Roki's power, but by God's power, that God might fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. Paul is over there restrained by the devil. He sees the devil at work in Thessalonica, and he is praying that God's power might assist and aid and guide and direct those people that are in danger of being tempted and turning away and having all Paul's work come to naught and be wasted. My greatest fear is that the work that is done by this church in your life would be wasted. That's an incredible fear. God calls us to great works and then empowers us to do them. And we need to remember that it's all God's work. And some people say, well, if it's all God's work, what does he need me for? How much freedom do I really have? What does it really matter? And look at this. He says that by his power, he might fulfill every good purpose of yours. Now, he calls you to good purpose. You say, well, am I just like a robot? And he says, no. He's also going to empower every act prompted by your faith. Do you get an idea? I want to please you, Lord. I want to bless you, Lord. That's my boy. That's my girl. You know, Lisa goes away sometimes. We got a common focus. That on the day that he comes back, that he might be glorified in us. Right? Jesus shows up and says, Jesus, look what we did. We did this for you. We did this for you. Did you? He says, I saw it. I was so proud of your actions. I want to see everything that you did, even though he's right here with us the whole time. Amen? I want to see everything that you did. Show me what you did. Show me what you did. That he would be glorified in us. I can't wait till he comes back. Do you want him to come back? Are you ready to meet him? Are you persevering? Or you got something else in mind. Lisa takes off, and sometimes frantic activity will commence at her departure. We will have a little surprise cleaning or a little surprise project, and she'll take off, and Joe and Leanne and I will be doing all this stuff and all this stuff, and then we're done, and we're just waiting for her to come back. Waiting. See, that's what he's talking about to the Thessalonican church, that they're just waiting for Jesus. Look what we did for you. And when she comes back, say, did you see this? See this? See this? So I like actually not showing. I just like her to notice that I've done all the stuff that she asked me to do. And she'll say, oh, I noticed that you did that. And I go, yes. Sometimes it's different. Sometimes Lisa is less than pleased. You guys know about this? Sometimes she will start a project, line it out, and she'll have a task set up for the children and goals and rewards, and tasks set up for the husband and goals and rewards. All set to go. And it's almost like, all right, go. And she'll start doing her stuff, and she'll turn around, and there's Joe playing Xbox. And in her mind, she's got a good 4 hours of work lined up. And in 15 minutes, Joe's already completed that and has got time for Xbox. Does this ever happen in your home? You have Xbox, a little DS or whatever those things are. Sometimes it's worse. She'll come back into the room and the TV will be on and there will be macaroni and cheese caked all over pots and pans and dishes and everything. And it will, in essence, be worse than when she started. Does that happen in your house? It's like, oh, I was expecting all this progress. Let me see, it hits a chord. She doesn't really laugh like that when this happens. She laughs now. It's like, we're moving in the wrong direction. This is not what I had intended at all. How you doing? Because some of us move in the wrong direction. Could be alcohol, drugs, any number of escapes from trials of life and the stresses of life. And the Lord looks down from heaven and he is not pleased. How do I know this happens? Look at the chairs today. Just think how many people said, I don't care. I'm not going to persevere today. I'm just going to kick back. Trials of life. Sometimes we win and sometimes we lose. And you're not going to win every one. But I surely hope you're not losing every one. Because losing can become a pattern. And the Lord would have you live a life that is worthy of the cross, that is worthy of heaven, that is worthy of the blood of Christ shed for you, that you might be transformed and begin to choose to do right. Lisa, would you come on up and play some music for us, please? Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you that you have transformed me, Lord, that I no longer respond to the stresses of life the way I used to, Lord. Lord, that if you could do that work in me, if you could do that work in Paul, if you could empower that church in Thessalonica 2,000 years ago to overcome the personal attention of the devil there, that you delivered them out of or delivered them through temptation, Lord, that you empowered them to say no, to turn their back on the old and to grasp onto the new. Lord, I pray for those that are here this morning, Lord, because there are those that are here this morning that have been choosing poorly, that have said no to your call, that have said no to a life that is worthy of the kingdom of God. Oh, the idea of salvation sounds so good. Jesus says, I'll save you if you give me your life. And we come and say, oh, I want that salvation, but I think I'll try and hold on to my life as well. And trials come and squeeze and ugliness comes out and bitterness comes out and make us doubt. Lives worthy of the kingdom. Lives worthy of the call of God. I hope as I say those two sentences that a wellness springs up from your soul. If you're going, Jesus, I got such great things to show you when you get here. I want to show you my prayer room. I want to show you my Bible. It's got marks all over it. Show you my life been transformed. I'll show you these people that I've met that I introduced to you, and they're transformed. Paul says, are you not my crown? But maybe you are here this morning, and as I mentioned that worthiness, there is a despair that wells up from your soul. You say, Lord, I have not been persevering. The trials of life overwhelm me, and I look for the easiest escape I can find. And I don't want to do that anymore. Now, you might be here, and you might be feeling that feeling, and you're just thinking, you know what, I'm going to change. Well, I'm really not talking to you right now. But you're here this morning, and you have looked for the easy way out, and you've quit when you were tired, and you have quit when you were hurt, and you have quit when you feel overwhelmed, and you have no perseverance. And you're saying, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. I want to be transformed. I want to be made new. I want to surrender my life to you, and I want to be raised up. I want to follow your call. I want to live a life worthy of your kingdom and worthy of your son. 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 And worthy